previously on the People's Republic of Astoria.
So this election may be over, but we are just getting started.
I was with Sauron when they were doing that very first canvass at the Bernie rally.
She gave me two names. One seemed like he couldn't do it or didn't want to do it. And the other person she recommended was this 26-year-old organizer, and his name was Zoran Mamdani.
You know, the electoral cycle is really like, don't stop here.
Zoran actually came in to the watch party that night.
Election days in general tend to be very long. You know, you'll wake up at 5 a.m. just to kind of get ready for the day.
You know, it was, according to my car thermometer, 106 degrees outside.
And you can almost like start to hear the murmur through the crowd as people start realizing.
I started getting this feeling in my stomach of like, oh my God, this is it.
On Friday, June 20th, 2025, I took the train to Hillside Heights in Southeast Queens. I was headed to the Dar es Salaam Masjid for the last Juma prayer before New York City's mayoral primary. As we opened our folding table and put out literature about ranked choice voting, a taxi driver walked up. He wanted to show us video from his Yellow Cabs for Zoran group chat. They'd recently had a procession through the city, honking their horns, blasting music, waving signs. The energy was electric. Later, there was a kid in his early 20s. He wanted to vote, but couldn't figure out where to go. We pulled up his address, but we were having trouble too. Before we could figure it out, he had to go in for prayers. While he was inside, we Googled the address he'd given us. A men's shelter. So, now we had to Google one more time. How do you cast a ballot if you don't have a permanent address? When he came back outside, we told him what we'd learned. He surprised me by asking for my phone number, said he was interested in getting involved with the campaign. 2 days later, on Sunday, he texted me out of the blue to let me know he'd voted. The election was still 2 days away.
Now to the race for mayor in New York City, with a new poll suggesting former Governor Andrew Cuomo is the clear frontrunner.
For 50 years, the Cuomo name was part of New York City politics. Andrew's father, Mario, even had a bridge named after him. And in 2008, his son made a dynasty of it, serving in the governor's office for 3 terms. Except, by the time Andrew left office, there would be no bridge named in his honor. Facing impeachment over a series of investigations into sexual misconduct, he resigned in disgrace in 2021. But after his resignation, no charges were ever filed, leaving the door cracked open. Just barely, but enough, that 4 years later, a wide-open race for the mayor of New York would provide Cuomo with an opportunity for a political comeback for the ages.
I had counted out all my Zoran merch. I was like, what days am I going to wear what shirt? And I had 7, so I had just enough for the final week. So I was already having a party.
Welcome to the People's Republic of Astoria. This is episode 5. 26 hours. It's June 24th, 2025, and Zoran Mamdani is trying to win his party's primary for mayor. If he can pull it off, he'll have the inside track to the mayor's office. In New York City, Democrats outnumber Republicans 7-1.
I think I still have my alarm on my phone from election day. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. because polls open at 6. You gotta be ready.
I was awake early that morning too. Not quite at 4:30 though. I'd set my first alarm for 4:45.
The thing about election day, everyone's up at the same ungodly hour as you.
I'd never done anything like this before in my life. Just 4 months earlier, I'd signed up to volunteer for a canvassing shift, knocking on strangers' doors. A local state assemblyman in my neighborhood, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, was running a long-shot campaign for mayor of New York. I went to a Thursday shift in Astoria. We climbed staircases. By 9 p.m., we met back up at a local bar to hand in our materials. I was feeling awkward, massively overstimulated, and bought a pitcher of beer for the table. My way of saying hi, I guess. Magdalena Miranda was the field lead that day. Her energy was infectious.
As a field lead, you need to understand you're the vibes creator, first and foremost. Like, you're the first face that someone is meeting as a part of this campaign, especially as someone who, like, just watched a TikTok and then they showed up at Canvas. You're the first person they're meeting that's a representative of the campaign. So they're trusting you to train them up, make them feel like they're having a good time.
I had a good time. Pretty soon, I was going most weeks. By late June, it had taken over my life.
So it's like I wake up and immediately, like, if I text someone, they're awake. They're going to respond. Like, the first thing on my phone was a text from Carmen, deputy field director for Brooklyn and Staten Island. And she Venmo'd me. She was like, for your morning coffee. I was like, oh my God, this is already starting out amazingly. Anyways, I put on my beautiful Zeron GOTV shirt. I put on all my Zeron friendship bracelets. I came prepared. I also live a 30-minute walk from where I was staged in Astoria. It's either a 30-minute walk or like 28 minutes by bus, which at that point, I'm like, I'll walk. I was at the door at like, I think by 5 a.m. because primary election day is in June. The sun's already up, so there's no like walking in the darkness.
I got to the Zolan Materials Hub in South Brooklyn by 5:35 a.m. There was no traffic, but I remember that it was already getting light. That time of year, the sun comes up so early. I'd stopped for a huge coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, my Boston roots showing through.
We're bringing a wagon full of stuff. We want to be in good spirits today. Like, I don't want to argue with a Pulse worker. Let's keep it positive. I want to say we had between like 15 to 20 people already at 6 a.m. ready to hit the poll sites, grab their palm cards, and get out there. I remember one of our amazing regular Thursday canvassers, she brought us some decorations for our tent, which I still have a bag of. We had like streamers, and we just like, it felt like a party from the very beginning. We set up outside the playground. It was also nice. We like decorated our tent a little bit. I love this area of Astoria. I love 36th Ave. I love being across the street from Little Flower. That was actually probably one of my favorites. I think I had at least 3 ice pink drinks with oat milk every single day I was there. They kept me alive.
In Brooklyn, we were loading up my car with water, Gatorade, posters, tape, the works. And then a campaign staffer asked if I was comfortable taping signs to the outside of my vehicle. We covered every surface with posters. Every door, the hood, the back fender, everything. I took a few pictures for posterity, and then I was off.
I remember this one Bangladeshi uncle. He came by, was on his way to vote, voted at like the elementary school we were near, and then came back, was like, I just voted, blah, blah, blah. We gave him a pin, and then maybe like 20 minutes later, he came back with snacks for us, with these pretzels and these cookies, and it was so beautiful, because it's like, we may not speak the same language, but we're all here for the same reason. It was so nice and so kind. And then later I saw a picture of him in an article about like South Asians voting for Zeron. He actually owns a barbershop on 36th Ave. So, you know, I see him around the neighborhood now.
My house was chosen as a staging location because I have a front porch and folks can get in and out even if I'm not here.
About a week before the election, that's how I met Helen Ho, showing up on her front porch.
You know, I always try to volunteer and work for people who earnestly want to live their values and, you know, help their neighborhood. So, and that's how I met Zeron.
I was going there a lot in the days leading up to the election, always unannounced. Back then, we didn't even have each other's phone numbers. By election day, her whole house had been converted into an emergency cooling station for the campaign.
You know, I have one room of my house that's air conditioned, which is the living room. And luckily, it's fairly big, but, you know, it just packed like all the literature and like as many volunteers as possible in so the folks could like get out of the heat and sit down and pet my cat, Oscar, who was really the star of primary day at this staging location. you know, on primary day, it was, according to my car thermometer, 106 degrees outside.
Because I'm a field lead first, I was like, I'm not staying in this AC'd house all day. I'm going to be in the trenches with my fellow leads and canvassers. I was like, I will be sitting at this tent. I was like, I want to do this. I want to be here with all of you. I was like, guys, take breaks as you need. I do not care if you finish your turf at this point. Like, please don't melt.
A few months earlier, the campaign had put out a call for volunteers for morning Eid prayer in Astoria Park. Of course, Magdalena was there that morning. I tagged along too. As we're handing out literature, a campaign staffer comes around, asking if any of us drove to the event that day. I hadn't, but I tell him I have a car. And just like that, I'm officially a member of the Zora Mamdani Volunteer Drivers Group.
So walk me through your primary day.
That's Daisy Lalome. She's been involved with this project since the beginning. And in November, she sat me down to talk about my primary day.
So let me lay it out for you, right? So it's June 24th, Tuesday. I had gotten completely sucked in at this point.
We had a lot of water deliveries. People like Tim would come by in their cars and bring us nice cold Gatorade.
You had an army of 50,000 volunteers throughout the entire city of 8 million people. And, you know, they needed stuff. Election day was big for us, the volunteer drivers, because there was a lot of need, right? Mm. So it was the hottest day of the summer.
Really?
Yeah, it was like 103. So because I'd done a lot of work and they knew I was going to be doing it all day, they gave me the west side of Manhattan. Every single poll site on the west side of Manhattan, from Canal Street up to Inwood, I was going to go to one at a time. And I was basically check in on volunteers at that poll site. Early on, like 6, 7 a.m., it wasn't that bad yet. You know, it was like survivable. So I had Gatorade and water in coolers. I was like going to bodegas as the ice was melting in the car, because even with the air conditioner, you know, on maximum, it was so hot. Even, you know, it only did so much. And so I was like dumping the water out of the side of the car and like refilling it with ice that I was buying at bodegas as I was stopping.
Not much time left in those hours.
Part of the role of these cars was like being mobile cooling units, where you would have people sit in your car and you'd give them the water and you'd be like, you're taking 3 minutes. I'd play the song Nani, and that's the amount of time you'd get to cool off. Because we can't have you in here for too long. You know, the shifts are only like 2 hours.
I remember I knocked my last few doors at like 3 p.m. and actually had two conversations with people who were like, yes, I'm going to vote for him later. I was like, you can't forget. Or they'd be like, I'm going to take a nap now. Or it's like, it's too hot. I'm like, yes, but just remember.
Put it in your phone. Put it on the alarm.
9 p.m., please.
There were a couple people who, when I got to them, I was like a little worried about how they looked. And you could see in just those, you know, they were like probably 5 minutes for them, because it's like, you're not getting in the car till you look better. I don't care how long I'm supposed to leave you in here. But you could see, like, you know, the kind of blood come back, that they would, like, look much, much better. And then it's, you know, get back out there. You know, I ended up overheating. I think it was because I was coming in and out, you know, because I was drinking tons of water and Gatorade, and I was pouring water on my head and stuff. Like, I was really trying to actively keep myself cool. But the thing is, because of what my role was, I was constantly going from in the air conditioning in my car to the car's off and I'm out in the heat, and then I'm back in the air conditioning and then I'm back in the heat, and my body like could not handle it. And so I was like almost the whole way to Inwood, 190th Street or something, and my body was just shutting down.
6 p.m., all the leads have been here all day. I feel like we were truly running on adrenaline. Like, I feel like none of us truly felt the exhaustion until the very next day. But I feel like I started getting this feeling in my stomach of like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is the last shift.
Well, luckily, I found an Irish pub and I was like dark and the air conditioner was on blast. And I basically was just like, you know, if this gets any worse, I'm texting my wife to let her know what's going on, and then I'm calling 911, because I'm like, I'm not going to risk my actual, you know, but I was kind of like, I never crossed that threshold.
A lot of people don't recognize heat exhaustion until it's like...
Oh, no, I was really, really close. So it was like 2 hours in that Irish pub drinking water before I was able to kind of even like function enough to get back in my car.
So you got your food in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You did not pass out from heat exhaustion.
When I finally felt better, I'd lost hours of driving time. But I'd been communicating with the campaign staff in Brooklyn the whole while, and other drivers had immediately stepped in to fill the need, help finish the turf.
So yeah, at like 7 p.m. and then, so it's like us leads are back and we're like, okay, I guess like, let's clean up since we're not launching any more canvases. We had to start throwing away lit. We had garbage bags full of lit. We're like, oh my God. And then it was probably around like 8:30 maybe. We were like fully like, okay, everything's packed up at Helen's. And then it's kind of like, okay, what's next? Polls close at 9. It's getting serious. And it's that like feeling of uncertainty of like, well, I know what I think. I know what I would want to happen, but I don't actually know. So it's like, as soon as it hit 9 p.m. and polls were officially closed, it was a lot of hugging and just like holding each other tight. So we're all like, okay, we're gonna go to Bohemian Beer Garden now. So we're walking to the beer garden. We're still singing Nani. I am with my fan. We're dancing in the streets on our way. There's already groups of people standing outside that I see. We go in there. It's already like so full. It's probably like, honestly, like 9:15, maybe 9:20.
And then I went to the Bohemian Beer Garden. I didn't even have my phone on me. The heat in my car was like f***ing with it. So it was kind of beautiful in a way because it like I wasn't able to record the whole thing. I just had to fully experience it in that moment. I had to be in the moment.
I'm walking in. I'm already being like handed a beer, like no questions asked. I don't know what's going on. I'm hugging people I've never hugged before. I like we've canvassed once together. You're getting a giant bear hug.
Completely drenched in sweat.
Exactly. We're all disgusting. So I'm walking in there. I'm walking around saying hi, hello to everyone. Everyone already has like these giant smiles. My favorite moments was people, canvassers who I didn't recognize or remember anymore, just like coming up and saying like, thank you for getting me out to canvas. I remember one of my favorite canvassers who came, he's an EMT. He was like, I've never done anything like this. And I was like, oh my God. Like the stories of just like the most regular New Yorkers just coming out and spending their time. And he saw me. He was like, thank you so much for training me up and getting me out to canvas and for like connecting him with the City Workers for Zeron people. And I was just, that already made my night. Bohemian Beer Garden was the place to be on election night.
It really was.
So, like, I could already tell, like, vibes were high. And also, while all this is happening, mind you, my phone is blowing up. I've never gotten so many messages before in my, like, I was not even checking. I could not handle checking all of that. As we were creeping closer to 10 p.m., I was invited to the campaign's watch party. So I was like, okay, like, things are in good spirits. I have this feeling. I was like, we need to get over there.
The official campaign watch party that night was in Long Island City, right on Astoria's southern border.
I left Bohemian Beer Garden being like, okay, things are looking good for us, but also like assuming it was going to be close and it might take us a week to get to the final results with ranked choice. So, but within 12 minutes, we walk into the campaign watch party, immediately swarmed by like some of our closest campaign office volunteer friends, my fellow leads, and we're all hugging each other, being like so happy, people are in tears. And then
the election was going to be decided tonight. And absolutely no one saw it coming.
DSA are the sponsors. And so they've got a whole lineup of speakers, activists, volunteers, people in the DSA. And nobody thought Zoran was going to win that night. Like nobody, right? His most optimistic supporters did not think it. You know, everyone kind of thought it was going to take like a week because it was just going to be the whole ranked choice thing. If it doesn't happen early, it takes a long time for them to count. So they had all these speakers planned. And just the timing of it was such that once the speakers came on, they muted the TV. It just had the closed captions at the bottom of the screen and everyone's kind of like standing in front of it. You can't really see them that well. The speakers are speaking, you're kind of focused on that. And it was just the timing was such that as the final speaker was finishing, Andrew Cuomo had just appeared on the TV, which is a very strange thing to happen on the night of an election. And if you're the kind of politics psycho nerd who who would volunteer heavily in a mayoral primary, you're probably the kind of person who's going to put two and two together pretty quickly, right? The most common reason someone would show up at that moment would be to give a concession speech. And people start looking at the closed captioning and for like a moment start to almost like hear the murmur through the crowd as people start realizing. Because the whole crowd was like standing because we had these local politicians and stuff giving these speeches. Everyone's already amassed by the stage, but no one is expecting to be celebrating or doing anything until this kind of like murmur starts. And then the person with the mic goes like, Andrew Cuomo just conceded so much more. And the whole place just explodes like you're in the, you know, clubhouse after your team has won the championship. Where every beer is being thrown in the air and you're just being covered in a rain of beer and everyone's jumping up and down and hugging and it's like a mosh pit. Everyone got, like, everyone was literally throwing them into the air, and it was, I wish there had been more beer.
In Long Island City, at the real election party, Magdalena was walking in just in time to see a similar scene unfold.
I don't even know how to convey that feeling again, but it's just like to immediately walk in and Cuomo's conceding on the TV. And I was like, what did I just walk into?
That night, spread out across New York, watch parties spilled onto warm city streets as supporters celebrated. You could hear the cheering everywhere. What had started just 7 years earlier as 10 perfect strangers in Astoria Park had transformed into 50,000 citywide.
So we're just all immediately screaming. Like, every new person I saw, it was the same, like, giant hug being like, ah, we're the mayor. I screamed, we're the mayor, 1,000 times that night. It was our moment because we were the campaign. We all were. Every canvasser, everyone who, like, toiled away in the office making a billion bundles of every language of lit. It was just incredible. Around 11, we're all starting to get ready for Zeron to come out and speak. First of all, we were waiting around so hot and sweaty. There is footage of me fanning everyone I was standing around because I was in front of a billion news cameras. It really felt like this is what we have worked so hard for. We did it. We're the mayor. It was incredible. But then there was also this feeling of like, oh my God, I'm never going to speak to Zeron again. I'm not just going to be able to run into him. Like, we did it. We did it. We did it. It's amazing. But it's also like, we're losing just such a like regular face and like Queens DSA member, neighbor, but so worth it, of course, obviously.
Just 5 years earlier, Zolan was another rank and file member of the Democratic Socialists of America. He'd worked on a handful of losing campaigns, was always at rallies, marches, and meetings, organizing, activating. The grassroots had made Zolan, and now he was on the precipice of bringing democratic socialism into the mayor's office itself. The movement was growing.
Eventually, Zeron comes out.
Zolan hadn't even written a victory speech on primary night. By the time he was ready to get in front of the cameras, it was almost a new day.
Tonight, we made history.
The whole speech made me tear up. It was so beautiful.
In the words of Nelson Mandela, it always seems impossible until it is done.
I think timed perfectly with him not coming out until midnight. It's a new dawn.
That new day, the one that we have yearned for, the one that we have struggled for, the one that we have knocked for, have texted for, have called for.
It was a new day again.
That new day is finally here, my friends.
Which, honestly, amazing. I'm like heading out. There's a group of us outside. We're like deciding next plans, next steps. Rightfully so, many of the field leads went home. I went to bed. It was past 1 a.m., probably creeping closer to 2. And I was like, that is fair. I made my way back to Astoria, was seeing different people. The beer garden party was wrapping. Like, people were at different locations. I was with one of my closest friends. We were just like on a bench. It was like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. The hours just kept creeping by. And we were just talking through all our emotions and everything we had gone through. And it just felt so incredible. Again, that like pillar from Zoran's speech, like, it's a new dawn, it's a new day. It culminated in, I was in Astoria Park, watching the sunrise over the Hellgate. I was watching the new dawn come in, and I really felt like that was the most incredible end. And yeah, and then I was like, oh shit, it's 6 a.m. We just watched the sunrise.
I've been up for 26 hours.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I need to go home. And I went home, I went to bed. I think I woke up past noon. Yeah, so the party just continued. The party continued, honestly. It's still continuing in my mind.
I wasn't ready to let it end either. If the election was over, then now what? After the primary ended, I still had about 100 small business posters in the back of my car. On the volunteer driver WhatsApp channel, we were told to recycle them, or just keep them, as souvenirs. But I kept thinking back to the people I'd met the week before, at Dar es Salaam Masjid. So much had happened in the few short days since my trip to Hillside Heights, so that following Friday, I took the train back. My bag filled with posters, I waited outside around 1 p.m., just as Juma prayers were ending. I could have brought 200 signs. I gave them away so quickly. But there was one kid, young, about 10 years old, who I'll never forget. He was there with an older boy, maybe a brother or a cousin, shyly watching me give out posters until the other kid prompted him to step forward. He approached hesitatingly, and asked me if he could have one. Of course I told him, and handed him a sign, trying not to let on that my heart was melting. So I turned back around quickly and continued offering posters to the men, leaving them as Jeed. But behind me, I could hear him reading the simple planks of Zoran's campaign, slowly, to himself, out loud. I took the train home, hopped on the F at Sutphen Boulevard to Jackson Heights, Roosevelt Avenue. Transferred to the 7 to Queensboro Plaza.
Local 7, train 2.
Took the N train north, back to Astoria, looking out the window along the way at the stout houses and walk-up apartments of my neighborhood. These days, I just want to be a body. Climb staircases. Knock doors. There's always more to be done. Next time.
Thank you all for being here.
On the People's Republic of Astoria.
This is an incredibly joyous occasion.
It'll be our season finale, episode 6, 3 Million Doors.
The first one is 2311.
It's never that easy.
The People's Republic of Astoria is written, narrated, and produced by Tim Donovan. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. For show notes, more information, and episode transcripts, visit our website at peoplesrepublicpod.com. Music by Perosian. Special thanks to my wife Alice for all of her great ideas, her endless support. Without her, none of this is possible.
Yeah, would you mind letting me know if you guys are marking down?
Gabriella. Awesome.
Thanks to Daisy Luom, Helen Ho, and Magdalena Miranda.
Yeah, I did mail him, though.
Oh, mail it. Okay.
Great.
Hello. Oh,
yeah,
hi.
Hi.
Awesome. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
So you've already voted as well, is
yes.
that right? Awesome. And then would you mind letting me know how you voted?
I voted for Zoran.
See you next time in the People's Republic.
Well, thank you so, so much.
Thank you
are you interested at all in volunteering at Canvas before the election ends on Tuesday?